Parshas Matos Masse this week, I want to focus on a very, very interesting parasha in Perek Lamed Aleph that talks about the Melchama against Midian. Now, if one looks into these parashas, one sees that Matos Masse is really the conclusion, as it were, of the regular run of the Torah, and ready Parshas Devarim is Chazor. Moshe Rabbeinu is summing up what happened in the past. Obviously there are many, many mitzvahs that are new, but it's basically summing up, it's a different level, it's different gear. So Matos Masse is sort of the conclusion of what we know as the regular course of the historical side of the Torah. In Perek Lamed Aleph, the parasha begins, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Nekoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'esa Medyonim. Go take revenge for the Medyonim. Go and take the revenge of Klal Yisrael, Ma'is Medyonim, for the Medyonim. Achar, after that, Te'osef El Amecho, you will be collected in from your nation. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he will die as soon as the Melchama against Midian is over. You know, there's a famous Rambam that we have called the Frankel Rambam, Shabsi Frankel. Made incredible work together with a team of Talmidei Chachamim, put an incredible work of working for the Rambam and finding the Makoros and finding the Maram Mekoimos and editing it and mistakes. It's an unbelievable work, it's a mammoth work. And the Chazon Ish gave him a bracha that he should be able to finish Rambam during his lifetime. Ezra Shem was able to finish it, that was quite early stages. And so Shabsi Frankel turned out one Rambam after the other. Towards the end of his life, the production of it slowed down. So he said, why did it slow down? I said, listen, the Chazon Ish gave a bracha that I should complete it. So what's the hurry? You know, if I hurry this up now, who knows what's going to happen? This is exactly what's happening to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is told that the last effort on behalf of Klal Yisrael is the Mechoma. He has to lead the Mechoma against Midian. Maybe from behind the scenes, but he has to run this Mechama against Midian. V'achar te'osif anamechon, after that, he will die. That's it. So the pasuk says, V'idabi Moshe la'om, Moshe said to the nation, Heicholtzu me'itchem, get together, anoshim. Says Rashi, V'idabi Moshe, afapi sheshoma shemisosei tului badova, even though Moshe Rabbeinu heard that his death is dependent upon this, also besimcha v'le icher, he did it with simcha and he did not delay. So let's go through this parasha carefully. Why is it that the Melchama against Midian was Moshe Rabbeinu's last act? Why was it that it was that important? Why was it connected? It seems to be an interconnected relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu dying and Melchemes Midian. Why? He should maybe give you last rosh of Moshe Rabbeinu. Give a last fantastic drosh to the Klal Yisrael, give them a sheer klali, and that should be, give a last sheer klali, and that should be your last act. Why is it that Melchemes Midian is that is conditional upon your death? What is the connection between the two? So if you look through the Rishonim, there are various different reasons. Some Rishonim say that Moshe Rabbeinu's family, his wife's family, came from Midian, and therefore if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have acted against Midian, people would view that as some kind of chanifus, yeah, as some kind of flattery to Midian that he has an in with them, and therefore he did not destroy them. Therefore, in order to clear Moshe Rabbeinu's name, he had to have a Muhammad against Midian that people should not suspect him for that. Some Rishonim say that. Other Rishonim say, the Balaturim says, Lefi Shira Maisa Midianis V'lei Kino L'Shem, since he saw the Maisa that Pinchas saw, and he did not do any act that was active against what was going on then, lekach nitlu chayiv in the comments of Midyonim. Therefore, he was left chayiv, inasmuch he was responsible to ensure that he did what had to be done in order to finish that off before he died. Okay? In other words, he was left owing Midyon a good beating because he did not do that act then. That's the Balaturim. But the Ramban says something which is amazing. Yeah? Yeah, the Ramban says something which is not the teretz I want to work on, but it's a teretz I'd like to expand on and get it clear from there. Ramban says, Shechala klei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovod zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this kovod. Sheyireh veYismach tzadik. That the tzadik should see it. Ki chozik nokom. It's a strength to have nakama. Ayin Shom Rabban exactly how he learned this. But in other words, it was a favor to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not something Moshe Rabbeinu had to do in order to show the nation. It was not an order to Moshe Rabbeinu to repair something. It was a favor. It was a tova to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should go through and see Mechemes Midyan. That was an act that ultimately will be Moshe's final, that will set his mind at ease. That is going to make him, that's going to give him a bracha. What's Peshat in this Ramban? What's Peshat in the Ramban that Mechemes Midyan is going to be such that this is going to give Moshe Rabbeinu his going to be the grand finale, that it's going to give Moshe Rabbeinu his final peace of mind? What is this? What is this matana that we give Moshe Rabbeinu that should go to Mechemes Midyan? So I'd like to suggest a teretz. And Baruch Hashem, working through the parasha, you see more and more how it's emes. You know, in any army, in any battalion, there's training. And the training that the army give to the soldiers is not only physical training, how to shoot a gun, or how to drive a tank, or how to fly a plane. The training that an army gives starts much earlier on. It is the ideals that the army stands for has to be actually educated. These people are going to be educated for these values, for these principles that the army stands for, very, very sometimes very, very early on, even long before they actually graduate. A person's got to have the loyalty to the nation, a person's got to have the valor, a person's got to have the bravery, a person's got to have the principles, and the army educate him, okay, to that extent. And then he joins the army, and then he goes through the basic training, and then he goes through the more advanced training, and eventually he comes out a full-fledged soldier. And what they do is, by the graduation ceremony, or when the soldiers are finally ready to go to battle, they show their skills. You know, the Marines will go along and they'll run through a obstacle course. And the Air Force pilots would go some kind of air show, right? Whatever it is, they make a show of support, of strength, to show what they've achieved in doing the years of training. I'd like to suggest, that Mechemes Midyan was Moshe Rabbeinu's graduation ceremony of Klal Yisrael. He had taken them out from a slave nation, out of Mitzrayim, a primitive slave nation, a slave nation that were Oved Avodah Zorah, that there was no difference between their Avodah Zorah and Mitzrayim's Avodah Zorah. They're both Mem Tesh Shari Tumah. They were ignorant. They were barbarians to a certain extent. In fact, the Chinuch says that the reason why the Torah gave a mitzvah deraisa not to break the bones of a Korban Pesach is to treat them not to eat like animals. Yeah, a barbarian takes bones and cracks the bones and eats them. You are now different people. There's a certain elegance that's expected from you. Certain dignity that you don't have that has to be taught to you. Here we're taking a slave nation that know nothing about the Torah. They were Oved Avodah Zorah. And we have been training them for 40 years under the tutelage of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has now taken them to a stage where we have to see now who are these people Moshe Rabbeinu trained. This Mechemes Midyan, I believe strongly, is the ceremony of graduation of Klal Yisrael. And I'd like to break that down into four different points, into four different areas of where Klal Yisrael show that they have achieved what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted from them. And this is based on what every normal army needs. Number one, an army has to ensure that those people that they are training know it's precious, know the country is precious, know that bringing honor to the country while fighting for the king and country is an ideal that is worth dying for. Okay, they have to know that. Number two, you have to instill in them the ideals to make them personally responsible to actually make sure that happens. Not only make this a fundamental that the country is responsible, they, as a soldier, is obligated to give up life and limb for the sake of the nation. Give them the empower them, instill them with the virtues and the ideals that they will be willing to give up their life for the sake of their country on a personal basis. Not on a national basis, on a personal basis. Number three, we have to give them the training not only to fight correctly, but to behave appropriately during battle. And number four, when they return from battle, they should return as heroes. They should behave in a way that's expected from a person who represents a country. They don't return from battle in a way that is going to be embarrassing. They've got to return like a mensch. So there's four things. National, what the national identity is, the personal obligations to the country, to make it personal. Number three, to behave appropriately. And number four, to return as a hero, to behave appropriately during battle and to return to the nation as a hero and to inspire those people that they're coming back for. This is Parashas Vidin. Let's go through this carefully. Where is a command to fight Midian? Exactly. If you look in last week's parasha, in Parashas Pinchos, in Perek Chof Hei, Posuk Tezayin, Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lemoir, yeah, Tzeroyer Esa Midyonim Vehikisem Oysom. Tzeroyer Esa Midyonim Vehikisem Oysom. Which means, Tzeroyer, what's Tzeroyer mean? Rashi says, Zocho Shomo. Come on, Zocho Shomo Loshon Hoiva. Aleichem Lav, hate them Midyanim, they kiss them, oisim, and beat them. Why? Ki tzorim heim lachem, because they were tzorim to you, but nichleim ashnik lebavoy, they made you do it on fear. So it says in last week's parasha, hate them, and he kiss them, oisim, and beat them. Much later on, okay, this is in Perek Chavov, Pasuk Tezvov Tezayin, Tezayin Yudzayin. Much later on, in this week's parasha, in Perek Lamed Aleph, here we have a new command. Nekoim nikmas bnei Yisrael ma'esam adonim achet to'osif anamecho. Go and fight them. Revenge Klal Yisrael. What happened? What happened between Perek Chavov and Perek Lamed Aleph? We don't see any movement of war. We don't see Klal Yisrael going out and maneuvering in order to prepare for battle. Nothing. Hikisim, Tzorayim, and Hikisim, Oysom. Everyone stays put. Nothing happens. Again, Rabbi Yishlein gives them command in this week's parasha, and then, they go out to war. What happened there? What was the command in last week's parasha? They did nothing, and suddenly over here, they do something. Why do you need two commands? Why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to tell the same thing twice? Why didn't we go along and start battle then? What's pshat? So, the Znaim Latoyer says, and this is many, many other unfortunately say this as well, as Naim Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making two stages of fighting against Midian. Today we'd see this as diplomatic relations and actual battle on the battlefield. The first stage of battle, what Tzoroyer Asa Midyanim means, declare war, declare this nation as a hostile nation. Okay, declare, chuck out the diplomats, close the embassies, sanction trade relations, cut communications, stop the flights to that country, make this nation a nation that is, as far as we are concerned, we're at war with them, create a term of hostilities. Yeah, this is a hostile nation. If therefore we see any of those people making their way into our camps, these people are viewed as terrorists, these people are viewed as enemies, and they can be shot on the spot. We don't need a Pinchas to do that. And so too, if any of Klal Yisrael go over there and start doing their shopping and doing their clothes shopping, any of their markets, this person is a spy. We view them in contempt, and they are a traitor, and they deserve to be killed. Tzoreir Asa Midyanim back then was make hostilities, create hostilities, make it clear to Klal Yisrael that we hate these people. These people are a nation that we despise. But don't do any physical battle. Don't actually go along with the machine guns and blow them up. This week's parasha is a new din. This week's parasha is the concept of actual war. Send in the air force, send in the ground forces. That's it, wipe them out. But there's two stages. Tzoreir Asa Midyanim in Parashas Pinchos is to turn hostilities, and over here it is declaring actual war. What's Peshat Rabbi say? Why? Why do we need two stages? Why do we need two stages? And ask another kasha. Was Midian that bad to us? Consider what Mitzrayim did to us. Consider 210 years that Mitzrayim slaughtered our children. They enslaved us. They killed who knows how many people. Terrible, terrible to us. For 210 years they treated us like slaves. Actually like slaves. Right? And they wanted to kill us. And they tried to kill us and they killed our firstborn. Look what they did to us. And we didn't pick up a finger against Mitzrayim. Nothing. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We didn't pick up a finger against Mitzrayim. Over here, when it comes to Midian, okay, through indirectly they caused us to lose a lot of people. None of them actually waged war against us. And over here, we got to go out with our hands and actually beat them. What's the idea? What's going on over here? What's Peshat? So the Peshat is like this. That we have to know who are our real enemies. And who are those people that are just giving us a hard time. If there's a choice, I wrote this on Sitson a while years back. If there's a choice to sit on a plane next to a very well-mannered, beautifully dressed, impeccably and articulately spoken missionary, or a skinhead with SS tattooed on his forehead, with knuckle dusters, right? Reading Mein Kampf in English, yeah? The Torah tells us, sit next to the Nazi. You know why? Because he's not our real enemy. He's not our real enemy. This beautifully spoken, well-mannered gentleman that happens to be doing missionary work in Israel is the person that we are much more, we hate much more, that is much more dangerous to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael early on, Sereres Midyani means, I want you to treat these peoples as hostile. Get it into your head. They hate us. They're our biggest enemies, more than Mitzrayim. They're our biggest enemies. You know what? Mitzrayim, I'll take care of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. But when it comes to Midyan, I want you to realize, think about it, how we hate these people. Think what they tried to do. Kitzorim Haim Lachem. They tried to make his sin Baal Pa'oyer, and they tried to make his sin with Znus. These people are our enemies worse than Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim I'll deal with, but Sereres Midyani make hostilities, and in this week's parashah, you got it absolutely clear. Who these people were, when you realize how bad these people are and what they really want to do to you, to kill you in Olam HaZeh and in Olam HaBo, then go out to war. Then you go out to war. They're two separate tzivuyim. Rabbi Shimon Oimet, Kol HaMachti Eschaveiro Koshim En HaHorgoi. A person makes his chavis sin is worse than a horgoi. Shehahorgoi Ahorgoi Olam HaZeh V'yesh HaChelik Olam HaBo. Person makes who kills him, he's got Olam HaBo. He kills them spiritually in both worlds. And therefore these people we hate much more. So number one, know our ideals. Know that we hate Midian more than we hate Mitzrayim that made us suffer for 210 years. This is what our religion stands for. This is who we are. Those are those people that we're willing to fight with our own hands, because spiritual war to us is that much more important than our physical lives being put into danger. That's number one. If you look, carry on in the parasha, there's a diuk that everybody talks about. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a tzivut to Moshe Rabbeinu, here's a chumash. Yeah, you look in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, it says, Nekoi nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esa Midyanim. Take the nekoma of b'nei Yisrael from the Midyanim. In other words, what's this nekoma against? Who's this revenge for? B'nei Yisrael. Vayda ben Moshe la'om le'moyu. Yeah, the next Pasuk Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Om, and he says, "Hey, chol to mitzchem anoshim atzava, bring together people for the army." The year of Midian loses nikmas Hashem b'Midian, to fight Hashem against Midian. In other words, whose nekama was it? Was it nikmas Yisrael? Was it revenging Klal Yisrael? Or was it, next Pasuk says, nikmas Hashem b'Midian, a nekama of Hashem b'Midian? What was it? Was it nekama? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change it from nikmas Yisrael to nikmas Hashem? What's the idea behind this? So Dubna Magid, in his Derech, says a beautiful mashal. He said there was once a Gavir, a very powerful person, both financially and politically, very well known. And this man had a child who was a very impressionable young boy. And this boy had a couple of friends who were very involved in ensuring that his education, that his father made sure that he stayed on the strict and narrow, was not adhered to. And this boy used to party, used to club, and he used to go around with his friends, and the friends really were not good with him. There was alcohol problems, there were drug problems, there was fighting, this child got into a lot of trouble. And these two friends were the ones responsible for doing it to this poor boy. But there was a difference between the two friends. One of them was a poor guy, didn't have much money, didn't have a job. And the reason why he schlepped along this son, this fellow, was in order that when he was with him, he could get a lift to the parties, he'll pay for his drink, he'll pay for his drugs. You know, he was using him, enabled to piggyback on him for his own particular lifestyle. It was what he considered a relationship that was lettay of him. He was done to serve his own purposes. But there's nothing against his poor kid, right? The other friend, he had his own money. He didn't need this boy at all, financially. All he wanted is, he had the fun of watching this good kid from a good home getting messed up. He found it funny. He'd video him. Yeah, it's doing the most crazy stuff. And he got a kick out of the fact that such a good kid can go so low. And he had a kick against the fact that the father of this boy had worked so hard, and him, with a few weeks of bad influence, can completely destroy him. He got a kick out of that. The father got to hear what was going on, and he had to stop this. So the poor boy, the father went to the father of this, and he said, listen, I'm happy to pay for this kid's education. I'm happy to send him off to a boarding school, but he can't stay in this town. He's terrible for my son. I'll pay his money, take him, send him away, send him to a boarding school. He should be out of town. I want nothing to do with my son. That was one son. But that's one boy. The other friend, the father, hired a group of hoodlums, a group of thugs, and they tied him up and beat him. And said, if you come close to my son again, I'll beat you so badly you'll never be able to walk. And that's how I dealt with the other boy. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a big difference between Mitzrayim and Midian. Mitzrayim was there for the national pride. They needed you to build up their nation. Yosef was a brain behind Mitzrayim. They saw the strength of Klal Yisrael. They used them for their own purposes. But it wasn't there to drag them down. They needed them to build up their nation, and they did. Did a very good job at it. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, Mitzrayim, they're bad people. Okay, I'll deal with them. Midian, on the other hand, were not threatened at all. Nothing, they could have just passed by, nothing would have happened to them. They were interested in making us sin. There, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Nekoim. This is not only that. This is not only a Nekoma. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. This, make it a personal attack. Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael means, of course, it's Nekoma of revenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor by making his people not keep mitzvahs. But Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael means HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, make this attack personal. Because it is personal. They try to get you down just because they hate you for no purpose other than that. They gained nothing by it other than just seeing an Am Nivcho being destroyed by Chet. So Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael means, make this a personal attack with no let up, with no Rachmanis, with no mercy, beat the living daylights out of these people. Now that's Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. But ultimately, it was a fact that it was a Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. Yeah? It was an akoma of Klal Yisrael doing a dishonor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Midianim. But make it personal. So this is the second stage. The first stage is knowing what our country stands for. Knowing who we are. Knowing what we as a nation hold is important. Know what we're willing to go to war for. That is, those nations are out to make us sin. More than those nations who have annihilated us, those nations who have killed us. Secondly, the idea is make it personal. Those people are out there to make you sin. We can't just say, oh, you know, it's not the right thing to do. No, you've got to hate them yourself and make not claim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. That's the Dubna Magid. Now, if you look later on, the parasha, there was actually a very successful war, and it brought back a lot of stuff. Okay, if you look in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Mentes, and the parasha discusses over here exactly how they should split it up. But Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Mentes, this is a puzzling pasuk. Vayomer al Moshe, and they said to Moshe, who they said to Moshe? That's the pasuk before that. Sorry, Vayikruvu al Moshe hapakudim asher la'alfi hatzava, and they came. Those people who were in charge, the Alfi Hatzava, the ones who were over the army, Sarelof and Sarameis, the ones who were over 1,000 over 100. In other words, the high-ranking officers came. Vayoyim Reel Moshe said to Moshe, Avadecho Nosu Es Reish Anshel Mochama. Avadecho Nosu Es Reish Anshel Mochama. Your servants carried the heads of those people who went to war, Ashi Daniel, that were in our hands, Vle Nifkad Mimenu Ish. Says Rashi, Nifgad from the Russian Blay Nechsa. None of them were missing. In other words, we came back with exactly the amount of numbers that we left with. An incredible defeat. Five powerful kings, we came back, was one man missing. The Nakriv is Korban Hashem. And therefore we like to bring a Korban to Korban Hashem. Isha Shemotzik Lizovitz Odeva Tomitabas Ogabuchumas Achapel Nafshesinifne Hashem. And therefore we like to bring as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll see that's not quite the case, Lechape al Nafshei Seinef Nei Hashem, to bring a kapara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring a kapara. Rabbi Yisai, why do you need a kapara? What did they do wrong? If they would come back beaten and lost, then obviously these people are Rishoyim. These people aren't doing what they should have done. And therefore, when they come back and come back crying to Moshe, they know, obviously, look what happened to Ai. Yeah, when Christ went to a Muhammad against Ai. They could see that they weren't holding where they should be holding. But here they left with all those soldiers, 12,000 people actually making fighting on the front. They came back, not one person missing. Well, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, you know what, we need a kapara. What is kapara for? So asked the Meshech Chochma. Secondly, v'leinifka mimenu ish, the Gemara learns in Vomitz of Samachala from Adalef, the Gemara explains, leinifka mimenu ish la'aveira. Not one person deviated from the Derech HaTorah. We came back absolutely perfect. We left as Sadiqim and we came back as Sadiqim. If so, the Kash is even stronger. Why are they saying to Rabbeinu Shem now, we want to bring a kapara? What kapara? They left perfect, they came back perfect. What is this? The chaper nafshei seinu lifnei Hashem, to give a kapara upon the lifnei Hashem. And in fact, the parasha carries on, v'yikach moishe v'loz ha'koynes ha'zov, they took the zov, me'isar lofim v'meyos, v'yaviyo oise oil moiz zikor lifnei Hashem, lifnei Hashem, and brought it as a zikor. What is this over here? What kapara do they need if they came back physically and spiritually whole? What kapara is there? Secondly, asks the Meshech Chochma, why is it the Nakriv Es Korban Hashem? Translate. And you bring the Es Korban Hashem. The Korban of Hashem. It should be Nakriv Es Korban La Hashem. We'll bring a Korban to Hashem. What's Nakriv Korban Hashem? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. This is incredible. This is incredible. The Meshech Chochma says, the word Klal Yisrael was saying like this, as follows. Le'nifka bimenu ish. We went to a place that was so spiritually dangerous, and nothing happened to us. Those people who were able to get us to our virus then, nothing happened to us b'chlal. Le'nifka bimenu ish. What does le'nifka bimenu ish mean? He explains the posuk. We controlled every single one of the individuals, and therefore, in other words, the Soyalofim said we had such perfect control over every single one of the soldiers. We disciplined them to such an extent that none of them deviated. And they said, if we could have done that in a place like Midian, that was so shtufei zimor, that was so completely engrossed in sin, not one person was able to deviate by the fact that we're able to control them, to control their tithe, then what happened to us? What happened to us that so many people did an Avera so short, such a short time back, in a time when all these people entered into Baal Pa'oir? What happened there? How could we do that? What happened to us then? If we were able, with thought and consideration and calculation, to be able to control these people during war, we could have certainly controlled them earlier on. But chas v'shalom, nobody should have done znus, nobody should have served the Baal Pa'oir. And therefore, now we come and realize the powers that we have, we now realize that we need a kapara. Not for now, but the kapara of what we did in the past. We now know our true strengths. We now know what we're capable of. That's one pshat. He brings another pshat. The Medrash Tanchuma says, he said, what pshat? Asher b'yodeinu. Anshem chuma asher b'yodeinu. He said there are three things that one is in control of, and three things a person is not in control of. Three things a person is not in control of. Medrash Tanchuma says in Parashas Toldos, they are the eyes. Ketzad, hoyo'eve b'shuk, if a person walking through the shuk, and he sees an aveira, not pshat he's looking out for it, and not pshat he's looking again, but he goes through a shuk, and he's turning around the corner, he sees a devar aveira. He can't help it. Yeah, you know, he can't walk around with the eyes closed, right? He can't help it, that's one thing. Another thing, is example, is brings a chaitem, the nose. Yeah? A person walking down the street, suddenly he smells an aveira zara. He smells the incense of Avodah Zarah. He wasn't looking out for it. As soon as he goes into his nose, he doesn't smell, he blocks his nose. But at that original second, what should he do? He can't control that. And the third thing is the ears. He hears something. So later on he can block his ears, but the initial hearing, to find out and identify what this thing is, he can block his ears. But the first moment, he can't control it. Those are three things that he cannot control. What are three things he can control? They are... The three things he can control are the hands, the feet, and the mouth. Okay? What I do with my hands, I can control. What I do with my feet, where I go, I can control. What I say, I can control. And the other Abram as well, that can control as well. What he's saying over here is, we controlled Asher B'yadeinu. Whatever it was within our control, to go in the right places, to do the right things with our hands, to speak the right things, that we are perfect in control. The kapara is for those things that are beyond our control. That's what we need a kapara for. Ad kan divrei Meshech Chochma. Rabbi Yisai, a nation that started off from Mitzrayim, that got challenged now with those people who are able to get into their kishkas with Avodah Zarah, with Baal Pa'or, yeah? To get into the kishkas with znus, which is so anti-Jewish, and they're able to go out to war and completely control their emotions, not only not fall in war, but learn their true koyach, to know that in a time of not in war, we could have done better. That is incredible. That is Klal Yisrael. That's unbelievable. Not only that, they're bringing a kapara for those things that were not, you know, they smelt something they shouldn't have smelt. These are people who went out to war. You know, Gemara talks about it. Even allowed to even have a fast toya. What's going on? That's how perfect they were. And that's what the kapara is for. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if that's the case, I'm going to take that as a sakon of Nebuchadnezzar Yisrael. That is, for me, the greatest pride that Klal Yisrael can do that. So it's done so far. Number one, we've established what our ideals are. Number two, we've made it personal. And number three, we have acted correctly in war. How do we go back from war? The heroes return. Look at this. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Pasuk says, they finish off with this. Ve'yikru eskala sholol. They took all the sholol, ve'eskala mal koyach, ve'olam ha'behema, and all the booty of olam ha'behema, ve'yaviyu el Moshe ve'loza ha'koyin. And they brought it to Loza Moshe ha'koyin. What's a chiddush, says Rashi, ve'yikru eskala sholol, magid shohoyu ksherim u'tzadikim. These people were ksherim and tzaddikim, blei nechshedu ala gezel lishloach yad bebizos shlei berushus, and we did not suspect them of taking anything from the bizar without rishus. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is gezel. What's gezel over here? Let's say they found a beautiful gold brooch in Midian, and he goes into the house and he takes it. That's called Gezel. In fact, normally, yeah, it's a normal thing. An army goes out and they take their booty, they take their loot, they loot the country, then they go in, and not only that, they get a state pension later. And they get decorated. Right? Fantastic, good for you. Here, they didn't take anything because Loilokhum and Agezel. Gezel from who? Who are they stealing from? So the Meshech Chochma answers this. He said what we left off before. He said before when they brought all that gold and silver, they brought all Korban Hashem. He didn't say Korban La Hashem. Why? They were so clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world. They were so clear of the Maisa Nisim that they did not feel that they were doing anything. They did not feel that they actually conquered the nation and have therefore acquired the gold, and therefore they are giving it to Rabbi Yisrael. That would be Korban La Hashem. No, we happen to move from place to place at Korban Hashem. You know, when the guy is transporting money in a Brinks lorry from bank to bank, he is not a wealthy man. Yeah, he may look cool with a gun and the sunglasses and looking around. Fine, but he's not a wealthy man. When they're taking the booty from Midian to back to Klal Yisrael, it's not theirs. It's Korban Hashem. It's a Korban of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a Korban that we're giving it to Rabbi Yisrael. They saw the Mais and Nisim so clearly that they did not see themselves as deserving anything. And if they would take something, it would be Gezel. Because they didn't do the fighting. It's all the Rabbi Yisrael. And that really is true in all our life as well. One's got to think about that. But that's what's going on over here. It would be considered Gezel because they did not feel they deserved it. If so, what's Akasha? If they feel they didn't deserve it, if they actually saw so clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one, does a person who's transporting money in a Brinks van and not steal anything deserve reward? Is he called a tzaddik? He loses his job. The guy's a gazan if he takes anything. So what's the beginning of the pasuk, the beginning of Rashi? Magid shoy ksheir mitzdikim shoy nechshu du ala gezel. That they showed that tzaddikim and ksheir never took from the gezel. Of course you don't take from gezel. Answers Ramosha beautifully. And this is a klal. The chol haTorah kula. Odom nimshach achal poloisov. The Bechinuch brings it many, many times. A person gets influenced. There's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, when it talks about Eir Nidachas. Eir Nidachas is a city that served the Avodah Zarah. What are you going to do to that city? You got to take every man, woman, and child, and animal, and shech them, murder them, kill them, and then take all the shalot, everything, and burn it. Says the pasuk afterwards. Hakes sakes yoshvei ha'ir al hi lefi chorev. So the pasuk, and I'll nosan lachol rachamim v'richamcha, and I'll give you rachamim. Asa arachaim hakodesh. What's pshat? He says, ma'isa hazeh, the action yulad achzorius b'leva adam, the action of going along and destroying a city, creates achzorius within a person. K'moy shesiplona hayishma'elim, like the Yishma'elim tell us, kat haritz b'mayim ha'melech, the executioners of the king tell me. Kieshem cheshek godol. They have a tremendous cheshek, tremendous desire. B'shor shahor gemodom. When these people murder somebody, they become murderers. V'nechusom mashiyirash arachmim v'hoyla achzor. And anything what is inside them has they become murderers. You know, we don't have to know go as far as that. You know, you have these violent video games, and you often hear, you know, you have, I don't know. In my day it was Grand Theft, I know it's still around today, yeah? It was a big controversial thing where they should allow kids to play such a game. Of course you can't. But anyway, yeah? And then afterwards the kids would go along and beat up their friends. And then, you know, the real lefties will come along and say, well, what's the connection? One's a game, the children know a game, it's on a computer. Yeah, and this is going along, taking a baseball bat and beating up a friend is something else completely. How can you compare one thing to the other and study show, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? Rabbi Yisai, if a child is a thug on the computer, yeah, he's a thug when he goes up to the street. It's poshut. If a person is going around slaughtering one woman, child, and man after another in Eir Nidachas, he becomes a murderer. Says apostle, you know what? You're doing the shame mitzvah. But nosan lochol rachamim. I will give you rachamim from Shemayim, Berichamcha, and you become now a person who has rachamim. You're not be-
even if it's in Sivoshan, you'll still have the Yachzarius.
And therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu's gonna give you new Rachamim in order to counteract that. Since you've done the Shei Mitzvah, you'll have Rachamim. That's Peshat in last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, it says, V'nohin Nisan Chol Brisi Shalom, yeah, says the Hamiktov of the Netziv, that since Pinchas did the Maisa Vechzarius, HaKadosh Baruch had to give an extra Brisi Shalom to counteract that. Yeah, I believe when a policeman gets home and he's been giving out tickets a whole day long for people who have been driving too fast, he's not the sweetest dad. I have that impression. He's not. That's kachazet. That's the way it is. Yeah, and a person who's caring and is a doctor and a nurse doesn't suddenly become a tyrant when he comes home. It rubs off on you. Says Ramesha, these people have just come from war. These people have just pillaged city after city. These people have just seen what it's like to war is chaos. And they came back. And they realize it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all not me. If I take anything, it's Gezel. That is Tzidkus. That is Ksherim. People to come back from war like a hero, to behave like the Tzimtzumim that they left. That was Klal Yisrael at their prime. Moshe Rabbeinu deserved that. Moshe Rabbeinu had taken Klal Yisrael from 40 years, from taking them from a primitive, barbaric nation. Who served the Vedas all right, granted that Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But the Yam couldn't differentiate between them and Ovdei Avodah Zarah. These people had to be trained not to break bones in the animal. Don't eat like an animal. And to go back to a war. Not a single person is injured. Not physically and not spiritually. To come back and say, you know what? I've learnt something about myself in war and I've got to have kapara of what I've done till now. I've got to have a kapara, I've got to do tshuva on those things that are beyond my control. To come back and to say Ribbono Shel Olam is all you, and to take anything is gezel. I have not been negatively influenced by what I've seen. That is gadlus. That is Moshe Rabbeinu's biggest prize. To say to Moshe Rabbeinu, look what a nation you've created. Look what a nation you have educated. Look where you brought them. And this, what's about the parasha ends, the pasuk said, that was the zekaron lifnei Hashem. That was the trophy that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to show. This is Klal Yisrael. And then, when he finishes parasha, the tragic thing is, in Matos Masi, Shimu Dvar Hashem lehaftoira, Shimu Dvar Hashem beis Yaakov, v'chol mishpachos beis koyom Hashem, ma motza v'seichem bi'ovel. We go straight from the absolute, the prime of Klal Yisrael under Moshe's tutelage, and we go end up a few minutes later straight into the Shlesha de Pernusa, the 3 weeks. So we have to feel for ourselves, who can we really be? Where, what is really expected from us? What are we really missing? We're missing the Beis HaMikdash, we're missing Nevi'im, we're missing ourselves. There's a chilek of ourselves that we're missing, and that way will help us to strive Be'ez Hashem to better ourselves and to deserve in the fullest, rightest, perfectest way Be'ez Hashem the Bina Beis HaMikdash from here of Yemen.